to stand with us and turn to number 293. I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we never roam. Never.
Trust in him, Appreciate the good songs and really thankful for the song that we just sung. Did any of you hear? I know it was mentioned here this morning during Sunday school, like it is pretty much every week, about the ones that had birthdays. We just sung that song about a land where we'll never grow old. But did any of you wake up this morning any younger? I mean, everybody woke up this morning a day older than what you were yesterday. And we just continue to grow old here. But there is a land where those things cease. And so I appreciate that song very much. I want to ask for your prayers today. I have a thought that I want to try to share with you by the help of God. This has just been on my mind all week long. Just couldn't stop thinking about this. If you want to read with me, turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. And I want to read some scripture beginning with verse 1. And please pray for the message today that God will liberate His servant, and that you know, what will be said is just what God wants to be said. 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And I will stop reading there with verse 10 from 1 Kings chapter 10, the first 10 verses for a scripture reading. I want to read verses 6 and 7 again. I want you to pay particular attention to what was said in these verses. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." The thought that I want to share to you with you today will be limited knowledge, limited perceptions. And I know that you have heard me make this analogy before. And you know, I'm not saying today, as I stand before you to bring the message, the thought that I have from these scriptures, I'm not saying today that the kingdom during the reign of Solomon was a type of heaven. But when I read these scriptures, it seems that the reaction that the Queen of Sheba had to this, and what she admitted upon seeing that which beforehand she had only heard about, always makes me think about that being the way it is with you and I concerning what's waiting for us ahead as the people of God. This woman, the Queen of Sheba, realized when she came and she witnessed these things and she saw these things, she confessed that of all that she had heard and of all that she had perceived prior to this of the empire and the kingdom and the things that Solomon had built up during his time as king, she confessed that upon seeing it, that the half was not told to her, that his wisdom and his prosperity exceeded the fame that she had heard of. And I want to ask you a question today, and I would like for you, if you would, to acknowledge by raising your hand, if you wouldn't mind. But I want to ask you today, how many of you have meditated, how many of you have thought about what you think heaven will be like? Have you had thoughts about heaven, perceptions in your own mind and in your own heart about what you believe that it will be? And for those of you that acknowledge that you have, let me say this to you today, that you haven't yet had a proper perception of heaven. We just simply don't know yet. I mean, we don't really, just like the Queen of Sheba said here concerning Solomon's kingdom, the half we don't know. We just have such a limited perception and a limited knowledge of spiritual things, of eternal things. I think sometimes that we may have the idea that we think that we know more than we really do know. But I'm going to tell you what, when heaven comes into view for us, when we see that land, and incidentally, I want to interject this right here because this needs to be said. If you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, you're not headed to the land that I'm talking about today. And unless you repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart for the salvation of your soul, you're never going to see that land. You're going to miss it entirely. But for those who are saved, I know I raise my hand to that question, to my own question, because I have thought about that so many times, and just in wonder and an amazing wonder of questioning in my mind what it really will be like to go to heaven. But I think that when we see it, we're certainly going to be more understanding of the fact, would be perhaps the best way to put it, more understanding of the fact that we didn't know the half of it much more than what the Queen of Sheba was when she came and saw the wisdom of Solomon and the things that he had built there during his time as a king. Now, there are some things that we are told, and I'm thankful that God gave us his word, and I'm thankful for what things we are able to read in his word, because he does, God did give us scripture that allows us to know some of the things that are waiting for us. And, you know, the greatest thing, of course, for those of us as the children of God, and you hear this thought put forth in songs, and you hear this thought put forth from time to time in people's testimonies, but certainly the greatest fact about heaven, and we know this for certain, we know this to certainly be a fact, and the greatest thing about heaven is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. I mean, to be in his presence, there's nothing that I may talk about today, there's nothing about heaven that will exceed the joy that it will give to us to be in the eternal presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, he really is what heaven is all about. To be there and to be assembled, you know, to be there at his throne and to be assembled with the people of God and to be worshiping him forever and forever. Last night at the gospel singing, last night at the benefit singing, the service went on for quite a while, and I noticed that as the service lingered, I noticed that people began to get tired, obviously, and people begin to leave, and you know, those, I mean, we face those things down here. My back is killing me today, and I don't say that, I'm not complaining about that at all, I'm just stating a fact. I've got a body in here, in this world, that hurts. I mean, we all face those things, don't we? Our bodies hurt, our bodies get tired, you know, sometimes we grow weary, sometimes we hurt. Sometimes we face pain and things of that nature. And so I noticed that last night, and I was thinking as I did, I thought about the time when the people of God will be assembled together, and those things won't be the case. There won't be anybody leaving. There won't be anybody, you know, that will be hurting. There won't be anybody that's in pain that needs to get up and move around or even leave and go home because their body is hurting them. There won't be anybody in a hurry to get out of there and go home because we'll already be home. We'll be there. And so I suppose that's what I want to speak about today is things down here that we do face, things down here that we do go through, that the scriptures tell us that we won't experience anymore once that we have left the walks of this life. I want to read some further scripture. If you want to turn with me, turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I want to read there. I'll tell you what, if these few verses, these couple of verses that I want to read, if these don't comfort you as a child of God, then something's really wrong. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now, we can read these things, and we know this to be a fact, but, you know, ask yourself this question. Can you really imagine in your heart, you know, we have lived in this life, we have experienced all of these things, You know, from the time, I can remember back and have some very clear memories, but from the time that I was just a very small boy, there were things that happened to me in life that made me literally cry tears. That made me sad enough to cry when I was just a little boy. There have been things all of my life that have made me sorrowful. There have been things all of my life that have caused me pain. I've experienced physical pain. I've experienced emotional pain. You that are here today, that are hearing this message, have experienced the same thing. Folks, we know what it means to hurt, don't we? It was hard for me, and I went through life realizing my parents never tried to protect me from the fact that people were going to die. They taught me that. I remember knowing when I was just a very small boy, when I was growing up, when somebody passed away and they were holding their funeral service, we went right with them. We went to the service. I mean, they didn't withhold those things from us. And so I knew when I was just a very small boy, I knew that people were dying and that they were leaving the world and that death was something that existed here in this life. Pain. It hurts. And even though having knowledge of those things and realizing those things and even knowing when I was growing up, knowing that the day would come that if I outlived them anyway, knowing that the day would come that those people that raised me, my earthly mother, my earthly father, had full knowledge of the day, of the fact that the day would come that they would die and they wouldn't be with us anymore. But even knowing those things, I'll never forget the pain that I felt in my heart that day standing by his bed when my dad took his last breath. It hurts when those that we know and that we love, when it comes time for them to leave the world, it hurts because we know that we're going to miss them. I mean, they meant so much to us in this life. But listen, John here writes and speaks about a day here in the Revelation where he told us that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And the first thing that he mentions among those things that will have passed away is he says, there shall be no more death. No more death. God never intended for man to die in the first place. When God took the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. And God's objective in creating that man was that he would live. God created him to live. God didn't create a man with death in him. Death was chosen by man when he disobeyed God because God told him, in the very day that you transgress the law that I have given you, you will surely die. You know what? Listen, folks, the fact that we die today, when you lose somebody, don't blame it on God. We chose. Man chose death. It wasn't God's intention. Man chose that. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed up on all men, for that all have sinned. And so we watch as people that we know and love leave this world and their eyes close in death, realizing that every time that we witness that we too are headed for that same hour. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. But in the giving of the revelation to his servant John, the Lord showed him a day when he would wipe away every tear from every eye of his children, and there would be no more death. No more death. Now you've witnessed that here, folks, in this life. But I promise you, there won't be anybody in heaven wiping their eyes, holding their heart, trembling because they are saddened by the death of a loved one. Those things, Brother Ralph, they'll be gone. Those things will have passed away. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's hard for us in our mind. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said in verse 12, he said, "For now we see through a glass darkly." And that is the way we see, and that is our perception, and that is our vision. Our vision of things are dim and they're dark. But oh, listen, when we get our first glimpse of heaven, when we see the Lord there in all of His glory and all the things that He has made for us to enjoy, folks, listen, yes, we will absolutely proclaim, "Boy, the things I heard there on the earth." Think about the Queen of Sheba there in her own land, and she had heard of the things of Solomon. And so far concerning the things of heaven, that's all that you and I that are living here today, that's all that we can say, is that we have heard of this land called heaven. We've read about it in the Holy Word of God. We've heard men of God preach about it. We've heard people testify about it. But so far, that's all that we have done, is we have heard of this land. And we have knowledge of the what little bit that God has left us in His Word. And that's what the Queen of Sheba had done. She had heard of the fame of Solomon. She had heard of the wisdom of Solomon. She had heard of the things that he had done. But when she got there and she saw it for herself, she realized, "Well, I didn't really have a clue. I didn't really have a clue what it was really like." Now, you may have had some beautiful thoughts and some beautiful perceptions of God's bright heaven, but I guarantee you, when you see it, you're going to realize that all of your imagination had just missed the mark. Missed the mark. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7, starting with verse 9. This picks up after what was written about the sealing of the 144,000. And he said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on His throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them." Hallelujah. "And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and again, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Folks, I'm telling you, we will never hurt in heaven. We will never be sad in heaven. I've told people before, you know, I've talked to people before and just didn't know of any way to make them feel better. I mean, you know, listen, being saved does not exclude us from the trials of this life. There are things that even though people are saved, there are things that we face in this life that hurt. There are things that are hard to take. And I have talked through the years with people as a pastor talked with people about something that was happening in their life and see that it had them so distraught and that it was hurting them so bad and causing so much sorrow in their heart that sometimes the only thing that I could say, the only comfort that I could possibly give was to just tell them to hang on because there's a day coming when these things will be gone and we won't have to experience those things anymore. But I'll tell you what, there's no... I'm glad that God gives us His grace because I can't hardly imagine making it through life without it, can you? I mean, I don't really understand... how people make it without the Lord as their friend. I've had to lean on Him so many times in my life. Just lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. And know that I wasn't sufficient in myself for the trial. Know that if I was going to make it, God was going to have to give me strength. And God was going to have to give me grace. We are surrounded, folks. We are surrounded in this life by things that befall us here that cause us pain, that cause us sorrow, that cause us to cry. I've heard people in my life make fun. I mean, just poke fun at people crying. People that cry, oh, you big crybaby. But you know what? I'm persuaded to believe that those people that do that, I'm persuaded to believe that they have times when they steal away and they cry their eyes out. There's things here that just bring pain. They bring pain. And they bring sorrow. And they bring distress in our lives. And we're subject to those things all our days on the earth. Every time I sing that song that I heard sung here this morning, Never Grow Old, I can't help but think about the people in this life that I've watched grow old. You've known people just like I have, parents, grandparents. You saw them in the days of their youth. You saw them when they were strong. You saw them when they had a lot of vital strength, when they were energetic, and we watched them through the years. They aged. Youngest son, when I went up to the Bethel Association meeting here not long ago, boy, he just really encouraged me. He said, Dad, I can tell you're getting older. I was like, well, thanks a lot, Ben. But it shows in all of us, doesn't it? The aging process. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It happens. You know, listen, if you continue to breathe, you're going to continue to age. You're going to get older. And so we've watched people In this life, we've watched them go from, a time when they were strong, when they displayed a strength before us, and age, through the process of the aging of the body, we saw them get older and we saw them get weaker until the time that God brought them to the hour of death and they died and they left this world, and it left us sad in our hearts. That person was gone, and it's not always in old age. We know that people die in their youth too, and certainly saddens our heart, but just hold on. Just hang on. Lean on the Lord and hold on, because it won't be long for God's people when we'll go live in a land where we won't face these things anymore. We won't know these things anymore. God will just come along and just wipe all the tears from our eyes. And we won't know anything about death. And we won't know anything about sorrow. And we won't know anything about pain. Because all of these things will have passed away. And all we'll know is peace and joy and contentment. We'll worship. I'm thankful that that's going to continue. Because I love to worship. I love to come together. I love those. I enjoy every service, but I really like those services when, like we had a few weeks ago, when the power of God shows up in an awesome way and just liberates His children, and everybody begins to get happy in the Lord, and we begin to have a love fest, and we begin to worship God in that way. I love those things, and I'm glad that when we leave this life and we go to heaven, that we're still going to get to worship. In fact, for me, that's one of the most beautiful thoughts that I have about heaven, is knowing there that I won't fail God as much as I have here, that I won't fail Him in worship as much as I have here. In heaven, when we worship God, we're not going to be hindered by time, and we're not going to be hindered by pain in our body. We're not going to be distracted from worship because of other things on our mind. Folks, there we will be focused on the One that's sitting on the throne, and that's what we'll do, is worship Him forever and forever and forever. That's what they were doing there. That's what we read about in the 7th chapter of Revelation. They were worshiping the Lord. And we will continue to worship Him without any of the hindrances that we have known in this life. Sister Motes, there will be nobody taking slow steps in heaven. I went the other day, last Monday, I went and saw Brother and Sister Doss. And it just ripped my heart in two what I witnessed. Saw Brother Doss standing on those crutches, just doing the best he could to make it down the hallway. And I felt pain from what I was seeing them go through. But we will lay down these old, wretched bodies one of these days. Let me tell you something. If you've been saved, death will not do anything at all to harm you. You take comfort in that today. There's nothing in death that will hurt us. You don't have to be afraid. God took that fear away from me when He saved my soul. You don't have to be afraid to die. Now, that's not a strength that we have in ourselves. That's something that God can give to us. But the thought of dying, folks, I'm going to be honest with you today. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to worry about that. Whenever God gets ready, I know that He's going to take care of me. I don't know what it's like to die. None of us know what it's like to die until we experience that. But I don't have to worry about that. And I don't have to fear that, because I know enough from God's Word. He gave me enough in His Word to let me know, to give me the knowledge that all I'm going to do is go to sleep and wake up in God's country. That's about all there is when a child of God dies. We close our eyes here and we wake up, we open our eyes in heaven, and that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Your body may experience some things, some pain, no doubt we do, but God will give us the grace for that. And we'll just go to sleep here and wake up with the Lord and be happy there with Him forever and forever. Folks, I'm telling you today, I believe there's a heaven. In fact, I know there's a heaven. And I know that God's people go there when they die. And I know that once there, that everything they experienced outside of heaven will, you know, that caused them any trouble or sorrow or pain of any kind will be laid down outside the gates of heaven, never to be known again, never to be felt again, never to be experienced. We won't ever get a phone call in heaven that our loved one has passed away. We won't have anything to cause us any hurt of any kind. Sinner friend, don't miss heaven. If you miss that land, you've missed it all. When we get there, like the old song says, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we get there, when we step inside the gates of that heavenly land, we'll realize, I'm convinced, we'll realize, well, I had heard of this, but I realize now that the half was never really told to me. We're just seeing through a glass darkly, but then face to face. The things that we just know now in part, one day we'll know in a much fuller revelation and a much greater knowledge than what we've ever had here on the earth. I went through my whole week this week, the question just kept popping into my mind. What's it really going to be like? What will it really be like to get to heaven? And the answer kept coming. We won't know. We won't know until we get there. We won't really know what all it's like until we see it for ourselves. But I know, according to God's Word, I know that we won't experience death, sorrow, or pain anymore, because those things will have passed away. I appreciate your attention today. I hope that it has given encouragement in some way. But I also hope that there's been a warning in it. If you're here today and you're lost, if you don't get right with God, if you're not born again by His Spirit, you're not going to see heaven. You're going to see a place called hell that's a place of everlasting torment where you'll be separated forever from the love and the mercy of God, and the troubles and the trials that you experienced here in this life will have been very light compared to what you'll experience there. So I urge you to seek the Lord, that you won't miss heaven when you've come to the close of your life. Brother Ronnie, there's a song I would like to ask you to sing, if you would.